in minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
This is a really nice one. I know it's off of a children's album, if I remember, when we added it to the Christmas rotation. Renee and Jeremy is the duo. Sunny Christmas. Mike Welch joins us, and we've got a nice first multiple graded steak card tomorrow at Gulfstream, but I wanted to quickly mention a passing. At the age of 90, word came to me this morning, Mike, Harry Benson passed away.
Yeah, you know, colorful character here, more relevant before I got here, really. I think he was head of the HBPA back right before I got to town. But he certainly was a colorful character, had a lot of friends, and I'm sure there's a lot of good stories from the good old days about Harry. I'm just not sure I'm privy to the best ones there. But, you know, he was a local legend for sure. A lot of guys are getting some calls already about it. You know, sad, obviously sad to hear the news.
Well, and I can remember talking to him about... I only think he was on with us once or twice, and he had a horse that, I don't know if he passed it back and forth, Dry Martini, remember Dry Martini?
Vaguely, he won a stake here a few years ago, or his son Alan won, I think it was his horse, and the horse has been running like allowance races for the last few years, maybe now he's finally done. Just off the top of my head, I can't remember the name, but he did upset a stake, I remember, one day. I believe it was here, not over at Gulfstream. Paid a big price maybe 3 years ago or something. I just off the top of my head, I can't recall who it was.
Well, and you know, Dry Martini ended up with Barkley Tag, but at the time, fairly early in the career, was down there and won the Memorial Day handicap.
Maybe before I was here.
Yeah, this goes back to 2007 with Elvis Trujillo.
No, I was here.
You were there?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember who won the Memorial Day last year. Maybe we didn't have one anymore. We don't have one anymore.
Might be gone.
But 2007, yeah.
So. Well, yeah, he was the favorite, but boy, there was a horse that you'll certainly remember that I loved. Rehoboth was second for Frank Gomez.
Boy, another great name from the past here. Again, a little before I got here. I mean, he was here when I was here, but certainly a big name here. Had some great horses, and you know, those good old days at Calder. I was there for the end of them, and I do miss the place. Mm. But some colorful characters and some great horsemen came out of that place, and still making their presence felt here at Gulfstream now.
Well, and you know, I don't know who it was. I saw it on Facebook midweek. Was on the grounds and took a bunch of pictures at Calder, and I it was it was I I I had to look away, Mike. It was so heartbreaking.
Yeah. It was like when I saw those films of the guys that walked through Green Mountain a couple of years ago that they put up before then it burned down after that. But they had the fire there. But, yeah, that brought a tear or two to my eye when those pictures came on out on Twitter and wherever, too, the Great Green Mountain Park. So,
well, let's cheer ourselves with some action. And before we talk about tomorrow, a quick look back at last week, because I didn't talk much about officiating's win in the Mr. Prospector, but there were also, I think even overshadowing the stake, Mike, it was Todd Pletcher getting his usual, you know, winter wonderland underway.
Yeah, you know, you're waiting, you know, you knew it's coming, and there it was. Two first-time starters actually had worked against one another in the morning and came out and dominated their respective races. One, I think it was 6 furlongs. The other definitely was a mile. And then he had another one yesterday, a filly called DeVow, who was eye-catching in her victory. I mean, she won it was a Florida-bred maiden special weight for two-year-old filly. She got left at the gate about 8 lanes and circled the field and won off by 8 lanes. I did post a tweet this morning. The buyer for the race was just a 62, and the rest of the field probably a little bit suspect there. But again, visually though, it was awful impressive. It'll be interesting to see moving forward, you know, where how she's going to progress coming off of that effort. But yeah, from a visual standpoint, it was something special. But again, we'll see when she meets better horses. She's obviously going to have to do a little better at the start when she steps up in class next time. So I haven't talked to Todd about that one yet, but obviously a good start to the month of December. Todd said he was going to be a little slow here the opening month of the meet, so if these performances are any indication, we got a lot to look forward to. Get into
it's going
to
be slow.
The rest of the main the meat of the meet when Todd, you know, we are watching these horses. They are working with other unraced horses, or they have been working with other unraced horses. So there's no telling how many more talented first-time starters. I don't know if we've seen the best, or the best is still yet to come. But you know, we've seen this from Todd before. These unraced two-year-olds turning three, winning impressively in their debuts here early in the winter, and then going on to, you know, big things as the meet progresses, even winning some Florida derbies along the way. So a lot to look forward to.
Well, and of the horses that we kind of previewed last week that came up, Dean's List, 83 buyer in the maiden win, and My Prankster taking advantage of the allowance opportunity in 88 for the Into Mischief for My Prankster.
Yeah, I forgot about My Prankster. He had well spotted there, obviously. Had all he could handle, though.
I told you, I liked that horse that gave him a tussle.
Well, you must have read the Clocker report. We had terrific works on that horse.
Of course we read the Clocker report.
It was not a surprise that he ran so well. It was a surprise that he gave. I still didn't think, even off those works, that he classed up with My Prankster, but obviously gave him all he could handle. So it's two good-looking horses to look forward to moving ahead here. And, we're just getting into, you know, the Mucho Macho Man's up next, starting to talk about these newly turned three-year-olds. I'm sure we're not going to see My Prankster there. He's going to wait for something a little bigger and better after that. More like the Fountain of Youth down the road, I would guess. But, this is the fun time of the season when these two-year-olds start turning three. And, you know, we get to see them as they start to get the races get longer and longer and more important. And more of these northern horses start coming out of the woodwork. Some of them that, you know, the two-year-olds that ran well at the end of the year, given some time off to get a breather, and probably will start cranking up again in the mornings in the next few weeks. Like life is good. Not a two-year-old turning three, but life is good. We saw Dave Norton put up a tape of his work the other day. Slow, but very impressive. And obviously he is eyeing a match with Nick's Go in the Pegasus. Still got a month to go, but talk about something to look forward to. I mean, that's going to be what a day that's going to be.
Let's dive into tomorrow, Mike. And it's kind of interesting. You ended up with the Rampart and the Harlan's Holiday, kind of thin with six each. Not that they're not competitive. The Harlan's Holiday actually a six pack that's very competitive. But the bigger fields and the more interesting stakes, the Suwannee River starts the fifth, and then later the Fort Lauderdale is really good. I mean, obviously it goes through Chad, but if it's not Imperator or Analyze It, there's a lot of interesting possibilities.
Yeah, it is a terrific betting race. And if you are trying to beat Chad, I actually did pick the two Chad horses. They look like they're ready to come around to their, you know, even bigger and better things. L'Imperator, just that last race, I mean, not only did he win going away by 2 3/4 lengths, beat Doswell in the process, but the way he did it, I mean, he was hung wide both turns, drew off readily even still. You know, he has that big effort in the Bernard Baruch to go back to, so it, you know, makes you think, you know, as a buyer, you know, he paired up 98s earlier in the year. He ran a 96 year with a wide trip, so I'm looking for him to potentially reach triple digits for the first time in his career on a buyer standpoint anyway, and Analyze It. You know, foot injuries have kept his career. He's only had six starts since the almost winning the Breeders' Cup Mile in 2018. But again, another horse, when, you know, he's healthy and on top of his game, if he gets loose on the lead in here, and King Guillermo may keep him from doing that, but I still expect in the end it'll come down to having to catch Analyze It.
I thought that if we're looking for a price, I thought a tone, the maker outside was might be a fun price to tinker with.
Yeah, another horse, you know, seems to be getting, you know, better at this point of his career. You know, four turning five, tough post, the 11 post there. The same for Space Traveler. I mean, Space Traveler obviously coming off of three Grade One races where he was competitive in all three, since coming over from Europe this year and joining Brendan Walsh's barn, fourth in the Mr. D, second in the Woodbine Mile, fifth at Keeneland, with not the greatest of trips, but he drew post 12, and so Tyler's going to have to work out something for him there. I think he classes up, obviously, terrifically in this spot, but the trip is always everything in these turf races, and he may wind up taking the worst of it. You know, Doswell and Breaking the Rules, second and third in this race, noses apart last year. Have not had a lot of success since. Have been lightly raced since. Both got the summer off. Both again now trying to get cranked back up. And all of these are looking to earn their way into the Pegasus turf. Obviously, this is the final local, major local prep for the Pegasus turf a month down the road. So we'll see, 5 weeks down the road anyway. So we'll see who comes out of here and takes that next step, step toward that big race.
You know, one question in this group that I started to ask is where the pace was going to come from, and obviously Analyze It. That's where, you know, where he wants to be. I thought
well,
that
King Guillermo too. I mean, I don't see any way King Guillermo isn't right up there early as well. He's relatively fresh. Last time, you know, he dueled through a kind of a slow early pace in that overnight stake, but you know, I don't think he's got his best chance here is when he's on or near the lead. You know, we go back early in his career, he was terrific on the grass, so he's kind of getting back to that. I'm not sure he's the same horse though he was back then. He's had some stops and starts and some hard races, and looked like he's tailed off pretty good after that Arkansas Derby, that huge Arkansas Derby effort as a three-year-old. But I think he definitely will be a pace factor, and I think he's going to keep Analyze It honest. Not that Analyze It can't win, you know, from off the pace. I just think you're going to see him, you know, forwardly placed, and he complements his stablemate, L'Imperator, who is definitely going to be looking for some, you know, help up front and a pace to run into.
Let's back up to the Suwannee, which has got the other big stake field, and thought this was very competitive, Mike. And I'm not sure if you were included in the tweet storm, as it were, but the owners, the people behind Shifty She, they're beside themselves with this Florida bred that won was one of the winners this week. From the Florida breeders, handed out the trophies, and they're all excited to see if this one can't come back and garner another graded stake win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm friends with Chris Pallas, who's one of the principal owners, and he's a frequent visitor to our office downstairs, the press office. And, you know, on paper, coming off that last effort, coming off her last several efforts, you know, she's obviously peaked. She loves this racetrack. The question here is going to be the pace scenario with her. I mean, she went wire to wire, you know, kind of had a pretty good trip on the front end of the Noble Damsel. Might not have that luxury here. I asked trainer Safi Joseph if he was worried about, you know, how the pace may set up, and he thinks she's versatile enough and trackable enough that if someone else wants to lead, she can sit back and win from off the pace. She has done that before, not too off the pace. You're not going to see her too far back. I mean, if I'm her connections, I would love to see her loose on the lead again like last time, controlling everything, because I think, you know, she is the best horse in the race if everything goes her way. But if it doesn't, there's a lot of options, you know, a lot of ways to go. One horse I like a little bit in here, just at that price, I don't think you're going to get 15-1, but the other Brendan Walsh that came over from Europe to him this year, Keeper of Time, I think this horse is probably a major player in here.
Yeah.
Just looking down the line. Sweet Melania, another horse that you know, fits nicely with these, but again, a horse whose best races come on or near the lead. It's hard to figure out how she's going to work out that kind of a trip here. In a hurry, you know, looks like this horse is getting better and better, too. Now, if you watch the tape of the Noble Damsel, she didn't have a straw in her path. She had an absolutely perfect trip, sitting on the rail in the second flight behind Shifty She, and never kicked on. But, you know, from a buyer standpoint, it equaled her lifetime best. Usually suggests she's going to move forward, and there's a good chance she's going to get a little more help with Shifty She this time around. So, you know, you can make a case for her as well. A great betting race if you want to try to take a shot against the favorite.
I'm glad you brought up Brendan Walsh and Keeper of Time with Gaffleone, because I mean, I don't know if 15-1 is coming our way, but I thought that Keeper of Time made tremendous sense in here.
Yeah. I mean, look, she hung a little bit in that race last week, and it wasn't the toughest of fields. This is definitely a tougher field, but it was far and away her best effort from a buyer standpoint. Since she came over to the States, I mean, she is a great Group 3 winner earlier in the year in Ireland. You know, she could be sitting on a big race. She gets Tyler. She should get the right pace set up. So if she could sustain that run, you know, not to kind of look like she, like I said, hung a little bit off what was a pretty fast pace. She really should have kept on with it in the Glen Cove. But she was 28-1 that day. I think she's going to be more in the 8-10 variety in the vicinity in here. But definitely a horse I would keep an eye on, especially if the, you know, the pace scenario goes like we, you know, looks like it might on paper, because, you know, like I said, there are some other speed types in here to keep Shifty She honest.
Well, one of those on paper might be Summering, and I talked about Proctor. Summering, I can't wait to see the report tonight, Mike, because the work that she's doing up at Palmetto's is crazy. 258 flat 5/8 with the dogs out? That's a crazy number with the cones out.
Yeah, I haven't seen his report yet, so not quite sure what to make of those there. But you got to look at the, you know, another horse that he's actually from a, you know, a number standpoint pretty consistent. But this is going to be a major class test, especially if she's, you know, pushed on early by Jaramillo and gets involved in that pace situation. So Sweet Melania is going to be leaving from outside. There's a lot of speed on the outside here, so it's going to be interesting to see how things develop in that first turn with all the the horses on the outside trying to, you know, get some position into the first turn using their speed and see how that, you know, affects Shifty She and what Jackie Edwin Gonzalez tries to do with her or decides to do with her as far as positioning coming out of that first turn, which is always crucial in these turf races.
Well, and another outside speed candidate is Princess Causeway, Fareen Wilkes. Corey Lannery struggling so far down there, Mike. 1-for-26 coming in to this week, and going to have to figure out, you know, what to do from out there. There's even more pace, so it does feel, you know,
tough ask for her. She looks a little outclassed here. You know, her earlier group grade three races, she's never really been one to run at this level, and especially from out there. I would see her more at 15-to-1 and Keep from Time more at 6-to-1 than the other way around, as the morning line has it here. But again, the trip is always in these turf races is the deciding factor more often than not.
Mike, the Harlan's Holiday, the Grade 3, mile and a 16th, six-pack in here, and I wondered aloud earlier this morning about what to expect from Mighty Heart coming back to a main track, to a dirt main track, after the season up at Woodbine for Josie Carroll, and 9-to-5 second choice behind Todd's Fearless with Louis Saez on the outside, and I see that you sided with Mighty Heart.
I did. You know, this horse looks like she's in he's in terrific form right now, running on the poly, but he's also slipped in some big main track races as well. The inside post is an advantage here in mile and a 16th races, as we know. Should be able to get good position coming off that first turn. You know, is conceding weight to everybody here, those concerned about the 126, but gets Johnny V. Should trip out. I think just maybe the class of this field along with South Bend. I mean, if you look back, the two of them met at Keeneland early in the year. It was Mighty Heart's first start off about a 5-month layoff, made the lead, might have come up a little short, and South Bend was able to pick him up that day, but then they came back again a few weeks later, and it was Mighty Heart who prevailed easily over South Bend. But I think they class up here along with Fearless. It's the three of those as the class of the field. And the big question mark, Fearless off that last race, you know, it's a little disappointing. I know he came off a long layoff, too, and maybe did need the race. And, you know, maybe two turns is better for him than the one-turn mile. But, you know, the number of the races is a little slow. He's really going to have to move forward off of that. You know, anytime a horse comes off a long layoff and it doesn't come back quite like you might expect, you have to wonder if he is going to do that. So Fearless will have to show that he's going to be able to make the big jump off that last race. He does like this traffic, obviously, a horse for the course. I could see the 8-to-5 morning line, especially with Red Hot Louis Saez, who we haven't mentioned, but he's won 8 races in the last 2 days and is now, you know, moved to the spot I think he's going to be at the rest of the meet if he stays healthy atop the jockey standings with IRAD, you know, coming in with a big disadvantage, missing the first month of the meet. So I think Fearless will be the slight favorite over Mighty Heart, but a bit of a question mark there. I don't know if I want to take a short price on that scenario, so that's why I went for Mighty Heart.
Okay. The rest of the other stake action, the Rampart, which goes as the sixth, looks like Dance Doro and Dream Marie, and then Frank's Rocket, Center Isle, Bronx Beauty, I suppose, in the Sugar Swirl.
Yeah, I picked Frank's Rocket, the Sugar Swirl. Both races came up a little light. I actually picked Allworthy in the in the Rampart over Dance Doro. Dream Marie, I'm not crazy about the way she's been working in the morning, so I went with those two. If Dance Doro gets loose, you know, Allworthy might not be able to catch her, but Allworthy's been training really, really well. She looks like she's sitting on a big race, and you know, maybe she'll be able to run the older filly down here. But I made it those two in the Rampart.
Nice. 4-1 on Allworthy. And you know, I will then, I was just sort of looking at tomorrow's tabs, Mike, and you actually might have some help for people starting their pick five in that crazy, why there's a 10-claimer to start the pick five, it is a mystery, but I suppose because it's a 12-horse field. But you want 12-1 Sky Magician here for Trombetta.
Yeah, working okay. You know, sometimes in these races, there's such head scratches. I'm going to go with a horse that I've seen as working well. Last time was on an off the turf race at Laurel. Has never been on the synthetic, so that's the problem I have here. Trying to play these races and even pick these races, but you know, you get a horse that's working well on the dirt, but that's never been on Tapeta. You just don't know whether they're going to handle it or not. And we've had some situations here where we've had some horses with big works on the main track, and, you know, for whatever reason, they were handed on the Tapeta, maybe because the trainers wanted the shorter races, the fives and the five and a halves. They just didn't reproduce those works. So that's a question mark there. But it was strictly a workout pick for me. She's training well, and she'll be a price, so why not?
Good. That's what's going to be necessary, it seems, because you got a couple of spots that, and including even the Fort Lauderdale, may end up kind of chalky. And also, I see you made the best bet on the card, Ridley's Major, the Chad Brown second timer in the nightcap.
Yeah, that was strictly a trip play for me. I mean, if you go watch the tape of that race, I know Todd Toss, that's in there, finished in front of him. I think they're the class of the field, but if you watch the way the race played out, I thought Ridley's Major got stopped a couple of times, and with a cleaner trip, might be able to reverse that situation there. And like I said, I think the two of them are the two best horses in this race. And the race was actually won by a Chad Brown that I believe was 22-1 that day, and Ridley was the shorter price, and Ridley might have been the best of the two as the race was run. So, you know, if you have a chance, just go take a look at the replay of that particular maiden race, and the you might understand why I went for Ridley instead of, Todd saw us in there. Misbehave's been a beaten favorite three straight times. He is getting blinkers, and I haven't looked at the work report yet to see how he's been working with blinkers. But just the way that race played out last time, I think Ridley's Major will reverse that decision if he can work out a clean trip in here. And again, you know, you got a full field of, you got only nine, it looks like, on the turf in this race. So one thing about the turf course here now is they're trying to save it as best they can. Remember, it's only half the size that it was here last year with the Tapeta out there. So they have less turf to work with, which translates into less turf racing to try to maintain the course as best they can throughout the winter.
That's the Saturday card at Gulfstream, and then on Sunday there's an interesting feature. There's a couple of maiden races that will catch eyes, but the ninth race on Sunday is a conditional allowance going a mile on the grass with nothing but stake horses, likes.
It's a stake race disguise. It's an allowance race or a stake field disguise under allowance conditions, but certainly I'm trying to figure this one out. I'm actually getting ready to write a story about the race and trying to figure out which way I'm going in there. But it's all the usual suspects, trainer-wise, with plenty of class in the race, and should be a good way to end the week.
Well, Maker brings back Bima's Boy, who's been gone for a year and a half. Last seen winning the Pan American. Proven Strategies, for the Greens, for Len and John Green, and the Empire Racing Club. How about Cheryl's Spite, back for the first time since January? This is the Atfield Fipke, and big family. Same thing could be said of Hawkish. Jimmy Toner brings back the LaPenta and Partners Group. There's all kinds of things going on
here.
Yeah,
it's a great feel. That's what,
really
good. That's what you get, you know, during Gulfstream this time of year. You get these kind of races.
Fun.
Where, definitely graded caliber. It's probably a better race class-wise than some of the graded stakes we have on Saturday here. But, that's Gulfstream Park in the winter.
That's Mike Welch, everybody. DRF Welch and the Clocker Report. DRF, of course, late this afternoon for the Saturday card. You can buy the weekend or the individuals. And, Mike, we won't talk to you next week. We've wrapped up the season on Tuesday. So we'll talk to you first week in January.
Okay. I think we're about the only track running here next Friday on Christmas Eve. I think us and Tampa might be about the only two games in town. So should be a lot of eyes and a lot of money in the mutual pool with you next Friday.
How about that? Shades of Calder running on Christmas, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember that my first 2 years, Christmas Day. Riding the entire racing form for the Christmas Day, which was two page, it was a front page and an insert, and then called the PPs. But it was a lot of fun, being out there on Christmas Day. Big crowds and a lot of enthusiasm. Good way to break up the day.
Unbelievable. Mike Welch, everybody. Mike, thanks for a great year of coverage. We'll talk January 7th.
Sounds good.
Mike Welch, folks. Let's stay right here. Scully standing by. We got the last half hour, the last Friday show of the year, and Scully Shapiro and Papo Morales here in the next 30 minutes. And James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
What do we like?
Well,
what are we looking at?
We'll just hop right into some thoughts. That was quite the phenomenon last night with that pick five at Turfway. A lot of enthusiasm for that. And going to take a look at some races. Been a really a good meet for the field size. It's been terrific at Turfway this winter. And, since it started at the end of at the beginning of the month. And tomorrow's big race is the Prairie Bayou $100,000 stake race. That's race five. Before I mention that race, I'll just start at the beginning of the card, Steve. Race number, they got a couple of maiden races of interest at a mile and a 16th for two-year-olds. Race number two, the horse to beat in there is Grantham. I thought he really exited a solid effort at Churchill Downs for Mike Maker last time. The winner of that race, Rocket Dog, was Classic Empire's top seller at auction. He made his debut that day for Brad Cox. Really looked good. And Grantham will be the horse to beat in there. Race number four is the counterpart to that. Race looks like it's split in divisions. And of the horses, I like a couple first-timers in race number four that I'll mention real quick. Number four, Warbeat. He's going to take some action for Brendan Wallace and Gerardo Corrales. Corrales has been killing it at Turfway. Yeah. Way ahead in the standings. His horses get fed every time. And Warbeat's going to get fed a little bit here. He's a full brother. He's a half brother of a Catholic boy, grade one winner on turf and on dirt. And, has been working well. But the other firster that I like, and I'll pick as my top pick, is number 11, Icarus. It'll be interesting to see what the tote is on him. He is a son of Arrogate, who really got off to a slow start this year, Arrogate, but he's been coming on here of late. Has 11 winners so far from his first crop, including Aval, who debuted yesterday for Todd Pletcher at Gulfstream Park and won by 8 lengths in her first start. So this colt Icarus, he has a 5 furlong bullet work, came back with a nice work at the 5 furlongs from the gate. He's the second starter from his mare, a Tappet mare, that's a half-sister to juvenile champion Stevie Wonder Boy. So there's some precocity in the bloodlines, and like I said, he's working well. 5-1 on the morning line, Icarus in race number four, Turfway.
Icarus, a notable son of Daedalus.
Of who?
Daedalus, for the Greek mythologists, Icarus and Daedalus, and there's also jokes to be made about the wax in the. I'm worried about the wax being too warm at Turfway tonight. Tomorrow. There's all kinds. We can have a lot of fun with Icarus, and it's a very strange name to assign a horse. But all right.
Well, in the Prairie Bayou, it's a field of 11. You've got five of the 11, Steve, that are 9-2 or less on the morning line. Definitely one of the favorites is going to be Snapper Sinclair for Steve Asmussen. A lot of turf class. He's shown class on turf and never raced on a synthetic track, but definitely a threat to take to it. I gave Cross Border a look for Maker. he's a horse as well. It's never, well, he has run on a synthetic track. It's just been a long time ago, but he's won on a synthetic track. But I wound up landing on number three, Mr. Dumas, making his third start off of a freshening here for John Ortiz. I really liked his, I think his turf form has been really solid. And if he, I think he's a good candidate to take to the synthetic track. This will be his first start on a synthetic track. Last time out at Keeneland, he caught a good turf. He rallied to be a good third that day. His last race on a firm turf course, it was like last fall, Keeneland, he won by open length. And like I said, I just expect him to get a good trip with his tactical speed from post number three. And I'm going to give Mr. Dumas an edge in that Prairie Bayou, Steve.
Boy, the copy writes itself, Mr. Dumas.
Well, that's not the real pronunciation according to the owners and everybody associated with him, but that's the way he's called, Mr. Dumas.
That's fine. It's one of the fun parts of horse racing. Are you gonna? I'm curious what I'm curious where we get to. To the allowance tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, race number six is, they got back-to-back optional claimers. Race number six is at 6.5 furlongs. It, you know, I think Greener Pastures is going to be a pretty solid betting choice here. Definitely, you know, exits a nice win at Churchill Downs. He's won at Turfway Park before. And it looks to be going pretty good for Michael McCarthy with two wins in his last three starts. I like, though, number 11, Hurricane Highway. And I picked this horse last year, last winter, when he won at Turfway Park. He came to Turfway Park last winter in good form from Indiana Grand for Cipriano Contreras and basically really turned in a huge effort sprinting at Turfway, winning, going away by about 4.5 lengths. Came right back, ran a head second in the forego sprinting against Stakes Rivals. Now he's in the barn of Brittany Vandenberg, who has two wins and a second from four starts this meet. Once again, he's returning to Turfway Park in solid form, running second, 2 seconds and a third in his last three starts at Hawthorne. And, you know, if he gets a trip from that outside post, I think he could really run a good race. Like I said, he really took the Turfway to Petah last year. And he should be a fair price, 6-1 in the morning line, Hurricane Highway.
The 11 and the 6, that gets us to the most anticipated race of Saturday, where Hidden Scroll, everybody's favorite punching bag is back.
You know, he ran so poorly in all three turf races. I'm against Hidden Scroll in this race. You know, didn't fire in the Commonwealth last time. I mean, I know that, he's been gotten a bunch of time off since that race. Something may have happened to him there. And always a candidate to come back strong. No better example of a horse doing that than Nick's Go for Brad Cox, you know, once he gave him some time off. And the other big horse in there that's going to take a lot of money is Visiton. He gets Corrales. But... and he's listed 8-5 on the morning line, but he's like a router. I mean, he's cutting back to 6.5 furlong sprint in there. I think he could be a little vulnerable. I like number two, Joker on Jack for Wesley Ward. I mean, this horse has run well fresh before. He came to Turfway last year, he came to Turfway Park last year and ran really two big races over the synthetic track. And, you know, I think that, you know, he can carry that form forward, you know, back, you know, coming back to Turfway this fall as a four-year-old. His last race at Saratoga, you know, like I said, he didn't fire that day, but I look for him to really run well going back to a synthetic surface. And she get a good trip with Landros for Wesley Ward, number two, Joker on Jack in race seven.
That's an interesting group, actually. There's a lot going on here.
There is. You know, some of these horses just, you know, aren't in, like, really good form now, which makes it a little bit difficult. But, you know, definitely a lot of class or lots of back class, in the field.
You know who's interesting here to me? and if you're looking for decent form, what's wrong with a race driver?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, that was, you know, and he's...
10-1
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's stepping back up a little bit in company. It dropped down a little bit there. Prescott Downs has 4 seconds from his last 5 starts. That's like one of Scott Shapiro's favorites. If you're ever talking to him, Steve, just get a horse.
He's on next.
He's always on a horse to run second in 2 or 3 races in a row. No, I'm joking. He loves to bet against those types.
Oh, okay.
But,
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing about him a little bit, too, is just, you know, I mean, like it's going to be tested a little bit for a class in that spot. But, yeah, I mean, he's definitely a horse that could work out the right trip with Edgar Perez, and he likes synthetic tracks.
Yeah, he's competitive, and the, you know, the Presque Isle form carries carries a lot of weight in something in a spot like this. It's a good race.
Yeah. I got a couple picks at Gulfstream in the last
two stakes races.
The Harlan's Holiday, you know, that race has, you know, the two favorites on the morning line both, you know, are dangerous if they show up with their best races. I'm a little bit worried with Fearless about last year he won that Gulfstream Park Mile off a layoff, Steve, and then, you know, ran a huge race in the Oaklawn. Those races would win tomorrow, but... I didn't like that. I thought that second last time, you know, wasn't, you know, a little bit concerned off of that effort. And Mighty Hard, he just had everything his own way last time. I think he'll face more pressure. I like number 5, South Bend. I think that this is a horse who's been in and out for Bill Mott, been inconsistent at times, but his last race was his best from a speed figure perspective in a long, long time. And I think he could continue. You know, he's got a little bit of a question with the Lasix because he's coming off of Lasix in this spot. But if that isn't an issue, I think South Bend will run a big race, and that's my top pick in Harlan's Holiday.
All right.
And then in the Fort Lauderdale, you know, I take a long look at this race. It's this race has some pace in it. I mean, you have
Analyze It.
You've got King. And Order and Law, and even if this Brown Storm draws in from the AE list, he's going to be winging it. I think Sol Volante has a shot here to run big. He's 20-1 on the morning line. I liked his race moving back to turf 2 starts back in that TBG. I thought, you know, he got in he was in a little bit of traffic. He was finishing with some interest that day. It was a good race off the layoff. Good race going back to turf, considering how he hadn't showed much earlier in the season. And then last time, he just was into that mile-and-a-half distance was too far for him. He split the field to be, you know, middle of the pack. But this is 3rd start back for Bia Cohn. And I think he's going to get the right trip, you know, with all the pace in the race. I'm hoping for a contested setup and for him to come flying late with Leperu. I'm picking Sol Volante in the Fort Lauderdale.
Wow. All right. That'll shake things up.
And my last second Friday pick, I like Osborne. I really thought he ran a good second to Howling Time. Howling Time was up about 4 or 5 lengths between calls and the stretch. He ran really well to be second that day. I thought Hitting Bombs, who ran second to him last time, could be a nice horse for Lynch. And I just think that horse has got something going for him, at least right now, at this, like, you know, mile distance. Osborne for Ron Moquette in the Springboard Mile tonight.
On the outside, and yeah, there's nothing wrong with Osborne in there. It's a good race. It's a good card tonight.
Absolutely.
And John, I should mention, I tried to hook up John Mucciolo, and John's got the race written up on the Twin Spires blog. So for those that will get to Twin Spires later this afternoon and this evening, be sure to go through John's analysis of the Springboard Mile.
All right. Well, all the best to you, Steve. You know, happy holidays, happy new year, and I'll talk to you in the new year.
Absolutely. For you and GG, James Scully, everybody. James_Scully, 111, and the Brisnet and Twin Spires team here on Twin Spires Weekend Preview. James, be well. We've got Scott Shapiro standing by. And Shap, good morning.
Good morning. I've had to do it in the past, but following up Scully, never an easy task.
No, but luckily you can jog across the hot springs, so you don't have to cross swords with him, on the stuff that he just went over, Turfway and some Gulf Stream, and a nice okay last week, right? Did okay week two at Oaklawn.
Did okay Friday again, the second Friday in a row. I'm hoping to make amends today. Didn't go well, but a couple good. Good ones on Saturday, including Imperador, who got bet down, but was the best bet of the day. So that worked out well. But hoping to connect on something a little bigger, maybe tomorrow. Today looks a little more formful than tomorrow, probably.
All right. Well, then jump to Saturday.
Sounds good. I think the back part of this card is real good. I heard some of yours and Hammer's discussion. In terms of, the back part of the card. I'll start in race five before we get to the late pick five. I think this race looks pretty competitive. And number 10, Cold as Hell, 10-1 on the line. I think interesting dropping into the beaten claiming ranks after coming off the bench in an open 40 at Churchill, where he was chasing a very fast pace that day, 21:44 to the half mile. And now I think he should, get a pretty honest pace. He's got kind of a stalking style. He draws well to the outside and has hit the board in 3 of 5 at Oakland, including one of his 2 wins. So we'll start out with a pretty good price at number 10, Cold as Hell, in the 5th, a 6-furlong affair. And hopefully either close out something early or build up a bankroll, depending on how we're playing. Heading into the back part of the card. I thought race six was another race that could blow up a little bit and landed on a big price at 15-1 shot. Number 8, Hidden Promise, who's a horse that I think is getting better, taking on a number of horses we've seen the best of. Maybe a little ambitious to win the race in his first start off the claim for John Ortiz, but stretching out to two turns. And I think I like that he protects this one, Steve, and 15-1 on the line. Maybe we can get into the number.
I like it. 15-1, and you get Ray Lou and starter allowance. They can always, produce prices. It's always an interesting, mix of horse flesh. So why not?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm hoping Ray Lou, who obviously I think at this point most know his best work comes on the front end, but I know it's been getting better and better at the rest of the stuff. Hopefully he can kind of sit just off because there is a bunch of speed to his outside. And, the mile and a 16th is a question. All the races on paper are at one turn, including the one turn mile at Churchill last time. But that was a pretty good event that day. And he'll need to step up, but I think their price is right to gamble against the number of horses I think are pretty vulnerable at short prices. I know you mentioned this horse in the 7th, the 2-year-old filly race, maiden special weight event at 6 furlongs. And looks like a pretty good one. I know Hammer talked a little bit about Peace Peddler for Baltus, the firster. There was Icy Stare Down for Brad Cox, who took a lot of money and ran pretty good running in the parlance on debut here. But you mentioned Chesterette for Holly and David Wilson and Bart Hone. And maybe we won't be as sneaky with all the bullet works, but definitely a barn, as you mentioned, very capable, or more so winning first time out. A lot of solid drills at Remington Park, and I couldn't even find a start for Bart Hone at Oakland Park. This might be his first one, or at least his first in recent memory. And the fact that they ship in the $300,000 purchase to run for the bigger purse is enticing. I hope we get somewhere near the 8-1.
As much as we've pointed people in that direction, we're probably not going to get. But no, it's an interesting group, no matter what. And I just as I just kind of thumbed through that group, I thought, this is the kind of horse that I like in a maiden race that. Isn't going to be as obvious as Amos and Cox and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, the dam is versatile pedigree. I saw some synthetic in there, but also some dirt. And the fact they spent $300,000, I mean, the fact that They spent $475,000 for the daughter of Spitzer, drawn right inside Chester Red Hot and Sultry for Steve Asmussen. Don't want to leave that one out without saying anything. And Runaway Wife for McPeak in late November at Churchill. Cocktail Moments was a very impressive winner. That was the Stars of Tomorrow Today, and that was the other McPeak that didn't take the money, but clearly the word was more out on this daughter of Gunrunner. I didn't love the effort she put out on the track, but sometimes Kenny's horses can take big steps forward. And, you know, Brian Hernandez Jr., we'll talk a little more about in a minute, is in the ride, you know, for ride title ready for Dallas Stewart, and he's going to ride for Kenny here. He rode the first time out, so not one to leave off. But that takes us into the eighth, an allowance event, $120,000. And this is a good group as well, and I'm going to, you know, you mentioned Mucho, a very, very game horse. Thought should have got the job done last time out in the Bet on Sunshine and kind of drifted out, really struggled to finish the deal. But the Necker Island's a real good horse that he lost to. But I think County Final might be getting good along the rail for Steve Asmussen and West Point Thoroughbreds. Went back to the dirt last time out at 5 furlongs and really finished strong. We'll need to step up a little bit in here and work out a trip from the inside. But at 5-1 or so, I think that horse is worth some serious consideration.
All right.
And then in the ninth, the Tinsel. Lone Rock. I don't know what you think, Steve, but you know these mile and an eighth and shorter are a lot just different game than these marathon races. And it's been a long campaign and no doubt very capable of winning this race, but I thought it was maybe an opportunity to take a chance. You know, a lot of other speed signed on. I'm going to go to Title Ready in here, 9-2 on the line. Thought it was an obvious prep off the bench at the one-turn mile last time out. This is a clear two-turn horse. Ran pretty well that day against the likes of South Bend and Sodoman, but should get a good setup in here and should be ready to put forth his best and should get a pretty fair price, I would think, with Warrior's Charge in there and Lone Rock.
If you're looking for another price, a different price too, I thought Beau Lumiere, is usable in here as well. He's on a roll, he fits.
Yeah, he's really, you know, he's always had a lot of ability and kind of struggled to finish the deal in most of his races, as the 9 seconds and 18 starts suggest. But lately, he's kind of figured out the will to win. I mean, neither of those starts, the last two wins, both at Keeneland and then over the slop at Churchill, he didn't have to win those races. There wasn't a fast pace in him in front of him at Keeneland, and he came from well off it, or, you know, came from off of it. It was a compact field most of the race. And then in the slop last time, came up the rail. Major Fed ran very well in defeat that day and you know, found that nose for the wire. So I think he's a live price. Even Huge Bigley, who's another horse that kind of is cutting back from more of the marathon-type races, but he's really taken a step forward since moving back to the dirt for John Ortiz and Ray Lou, now steps up in class, but he won for fun last time out at Churchill, and I thought he ran a big second the time before, going a mile and a quarter. So, you know, those two horses probably need to step up a little bit on numbers, especially Huge Bigley, but they're both in very good form.
Beau Lumiere makes tremendous sense. That race two back at Keeneland closed into a slow pace. And you get Ricardo Santana in here that certainly can judge what's happening up front in this thing. I at 6-1, that's where I'm going.
It makes sense. It's a horse moving in the right direction. And like I said, I love when horses... You know, this horse used to be kind of a play against for me in terms of horizontal wagers. He would always take money and always run well, but never really finished the deal. And he's really, you know, turned things around over the last couple in terms of that nose for the wire. And, you know, oftentimes they can rattle off a bunch of them when they figure things out.
How about the Nightcap, the two-year-old, the tough way to finish this thing, two-year-old maidens?
Yeah, you know, I landed a little bit reluctantly on number 5, Quick to Blame. I didn't think it was the strongest maiden event at the one-turn mile on November 13th. However, the winner, Call Me Midnight, I do think is a nice horse for Keith DeSormo. And just has the look of a horse that wants two turns. Took some money that day, not a ton given the fact that it was the Cox Barn. But, you know, $65,000 purchase. We'll see the Gary Mary West-owned horses, you know, start for a high tag or even drop in for a tag right away, especially when they've only spent that much money or the homebred, you know, if they don't like the horse. So the fact that they protect this one again, I think, is a positive. You get Lasix for the first time. So I thought Quick to Blame was the one to beat. If you're looking for a price in there, maybe a couple. Number 11, 7 flat for Ron Moquette and William Sparks gets blinkers and Lasix for the first time and has run into two pretty good groups at Churchill, gone one turn, including Epicenter, a horse to keep an eye on in the last time out that won that race for Steve Asmussen. And then Mountain Pine, kind of an unknown in there for Short Leash Stable and Johnny Ortiz. Unpredictable Bay crushed that field, gone one turn at Churchill on the Stars of Tomorrow 2 card. And this horse didn't get a good trip that day, never really got into the race. And, you know, it makes sense stretching out the two turns that this one would take a big step forward. And the 15-1 morning line is pretty enticing.
I'm definitely interested in Mountain Pine as well. Certainly John Ortiz sending out a John Ed Anthony horse at Oaklawn. And the stretch out makes sense. It's out of a Bernardini mare. That Aspen Hilltop, that name rings a bell. That might have been Lee Pacoy. Mountain Pine, call me Jamal, from Michael Pewich, clearly, you know, won't need to do much more to, you know, to get over after a very good, that's a good performance at Churchill on closing day. So yeah, that's another one. And that's a crazy price, 8-1 on Call Me Jamal.
Yeah, he should be involved early. Both of those races are pretty good ones that he exits, and looks like the two turns should be right up his alley as well.
Well, Scott, I love it. Good card, and Sunday's fabulous as well. And I'm sure people will be watching for some thoughts from you for Sunday. What about some pro sport action?
Somewhat action.
Pro sports. Your sports play.
I mean, what a mess this week with all the COVID issues on top of all the injuries and whatnot. So a lot to sort through. But I think the Bills, you know, I know they have not been playing extremely well and have been losing games. People are losing a little bit of faith, but I think they really came together despite that tough loss in Tampa last week. They go home. They get the Carolina Panthers, who are a mess right now and have an awful offensive line. I think, you know, I don't always like laying double-digit points in the NFL, but this looks like a get-right spot for Buffalo, where they should just dominate the Panthers' offense, keep them out of the end zone regularly and score enough points to win this by multiple scores. So we'll lay the 11 points with the Bills and expecting them to make a pretty good run here. Even though they probably won't catch the Patriots in the AFC East with losing the game to them and being a couple behind, I still think the Bills are a live team when it comes to winning the AFC, and I think they'll start showing it this weekend.
Well, they better. They're, people are getting antsy over in Buffalo. Scott Shapiro, everybody. Scott, thanks so much. We will talk in the new year.
Sounds good, Steve. Enjoy your holiday season. Happy New Year, and look forward to chatting our next time.
Without fail. Scott Schapp, everybody. And you follow Scott on Twitter at ScottSchapp34. We've only got about 4 or 5 minutes, but I know Casey had to clear this line to be able to reach Popo. So Case will quickly try to bring Popo in here, and we can close out. Popo we can talk to next week, actually, too, but wanted to get at least a little bit of a form to win thought or two. I haven't talked to Popo in several weeks. Had a bunch of conflicts. While we wait, I can tell you that sentencing has occurred and happened for George Navarro, who gets the maximum 5-year sentence. Stories, I just retweeted Dave Grenig, and they'll be working on, obviously, on you'll see details in the next, I don't know, hour, but that'll be the story today. Is also facing apparently deportation as well, which I we'll see how the court handled that. Papo Morales, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
All right. Sorry we're late getting to you. We've only got a minute or two, but we can come back to you next week as well. How about a couple of form to win ideas for the weekend?
Sure. Going to Gulfstream Park, race 10, the Fort Lauderdale Stakes. Analyze it, may be tough to beat, but a horse that absolutely fits, Steve, and is 30-1 on the morning line is the 6-horse Renaissance Frolic. So I would try to get him involved somewhere either underneath or maybe a backup as a C. And then another price play was in race 5 at Gulfstream, the Suwannee River. The 11-horse Princess Causeway fit. Mm-hmm. And then if you're playing the deep verticals, the number 1 horse, Dawn's Dancer, at 30-1, wasn't too off, too far off 50 she. In terms of average form to win time. So I try to include some of those in your plays for the weekend.
Very good. Some opportunity next week. We'll close out the year because we haven't talked, so I want to catch up with you next week.
Yeah, sounds great, Steve.
Papa Morales, everybody, and Form to Win. Download the Form to Win app and... got some exciting things happening in the new year with Form to Win. We will send you out into the race weekend, not just the race day. Lots of good action to come. And, of course, tonight, Remington, thanks to Dale Day, who started us off for the Springboard Mile Card this evening. Late, too, 11:30 Eastern time for the feature, but good stakes action ahead of it. Nick Tamaro, of course, and Hammer at Oak Lawn. We talked to Scully and Shapiro, Mike Welsh, and Papo just with a quick couple of hits. And the Princess Causeway I brought up with Mike. And you know, he mentioned Renaissance Frolic, who, depending on what Gonzalez does in that Lauderdale, I thought, you know, it's so funny sometimes when speeds. I didn't know what to do. I put a question mark. Question mark and a dollar sign. A dollar and a dream. Good luck this weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday here on Sirius XM. If you missed anything, the replay tomorrow on Sirius, 5 a.m. to 8, ahead of HRRN. And we'll be back with you on Monday, the last couple of days of the 2021 broadcast year. Thanks. Good luck. Talk to you Monday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only 3 states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.